got a sprain or an itch.
Actually is, and went on to explain that leukemia is just a special form of cancer where the affected organ is the blood. We went on to briefly describe the types of leukemia, including the acute types and the chronic types, but spent much of our time, in fact most of our time, on a particular type of chronic leukemia called CLL, or chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Unfortunately, even with our ability to resume and hopefully explain medical science in a few words as possible, we had to end the show before ending the topic. So today, we will complete the topic, at least before the end of the show. Actually, just before the end of the show, which means that we're going to start on a totally different topic. In 1967, I was just starting my second year in college at New York University. There were many classes that were prerequisites to graduating, such as biology, English, biochemistry, and calculus. These were hard subjects and needed hours of study to get good grades. But there were actually good classes that could be taken during the various semesters that were available for credits that were not so essential to graduation, but nevertheless helped get you endless credits to graduate. One of those that I took was speech. No, it was not a class to create expertise in English or become a voiceover artist. It's how to make a speech properly and interesting to an audience. By the way, I added all that as a plug for our daughter, Susanna, who actually is a voiceover artist. You can hear her latest audiobook reading by going on the internet and entering the link www.audible.com. In the search engine, go to Lasky and it will bring up the book, Saucy Southern Stories. Then click on the sample read button below the picture of the book. You can hear Susanna reading a few sentences from the book. Okay, Susie, you got your plug. Getting back to my story as a segue into our first topic, I watched and listened as other students made their speeches and often got criticized for, well, the inaccuracies in their contents in the speech itself. When it was my turn to make a speech, I decided that in order not to be criticized, I would make my speech a comedy while introducing the topic that I was to speak on. I started the speech with the following paragraph. We all know about some of the great inventions of our time, like fire and the wheel and even the lowly screw. But very few talk about one of those inventions that are used millions of times and on multi-millions of products throughout the world. I am, of course, talking about the button. I waited here for a few chuckles. I then went on to create several sentences using a technique called alliteration, where a consonant is repeated for several words. Carmen is going to give us some good examples of an alliteration.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers.
I know, you're thinking, that alliteration is just another word for tongue twister. But it is more than that. Give us another one, Carmen.
Let me think. Ah, here it goes. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer rose rapidly right from the ravine.
Give us just one more.
Even better. Some popular brands were named using alliteration, such as American Airlines, Bed Bath & Beyond, Best Buy, Chuck E. Cheese, Coca-Cola, Dunkin' Donuts, and Krispy Kreme.
So for my speech, I used the sound of the letter B. I continued speech by telling everyone about how the first buttons in production were made at the Birmingham Boulton Button Works out of bone, brass, and baubles. My speech went on for, well, around 15 minutes and ended with a joke about buttons. There was also another joke at about the halfway point in the speech. And after getting applause from the class and a handshake and an A from the teacher, I decided that this was the way to go in the future in my speech making. And it's worked out for both of us. Carmen and I both believe that teaching any subject needs to be not only educational, but must be mixed with portions that are actually fun to listen to.
That is why, at the start of the show, Dr. Lasky states that we hope that you find our show interesting, educational, as well as entertaining.
What we are doing is segueing into the first medical topic of the program, and that is to answer the age-old question, why do we enjoy comedies?
The first reason seems to be that human brain is chemically wired to feel good or relaxed. That is why we laugh at comedies or any humorous content that is thoughtfully made for causing an audience to laugh.
So you might be asking the question, how does laughter cause the feeling of relaxation? When we laugh, it's really our brains that laugh. We then express that feeling with our face and sounds. The brain releases chemicals called endorphins and dopamine. These are two organic chemicals which are neurohormones for happiness and pleasure. We now have to answer a second question, and that is, how does humorous content work to make people laugh? Before we can answer that, there's a third question that needs to be answered, and that is, how does humor work? Well, humor has been described as a three-phase movie, where the first phase has to have a certain situational setup. The second phase has to have an action or expectation setup. And the third phase has to have an unexpected result or even an opposite ending to the ending the audience would naturally expect. So the comedy writer or material creator would plan the acts or the jokes as if the ending will not be commonly or scientifically obvious. It's also important that the comedy or joke to make sense.
When the brain tries to understand the total scenario, it suddenly realizes that ending was twisted at all of its psychological tension that it accumulated for the expectation is of no use. In other words, the experimental energy is still available to use. It relieves its nervousness as a form of laughter.
Well, we've still not gotten to reason two.
Humans are born curious.
Our brains are chemically wired to feel the urge to know about something that they still don't know. Curiosity initiates release of this pleasure hormone and makes you feel comfortable to know more. The brain tries more to know about the unknown, and it becomes a habit of the brain. So whenever we find another probably unknown topic, our brain releases dopamine and jumps into exploration mode.
This means that curiosity becomes a homeostatic regulation, and that means that we as humans simply cannot be mentally stable without knowing about the topic.
So whenever we do find comedy or humorous content, as we know it will make us laugh and bring pleasure, we watch it or hear it and find it has something to know that we didn't know before. The sense of humor can be different from human to human, and the comedy structure or result can also be. But the common human behaviors, that is, to laugh at humorous content and to explore for unknown information, will always exist. I'm sure that you've noticed that it often appears that someone is listening to you, your conversations, or data entry on your computers. You may look up Las Vegas on the computer, and in a very short time, ads come on selling you vacations or tempting you to try their gambling sites.
This is no different in the medical field. So when either Dr. Lasky or I are doing some medical research, we often get pop-ups that are medically related. One in particular came across our screen recently. I mean, just this week, a pop-up involved hepatitis A.
The notice from the Florida Department of Health's stated that hepatitis A is now a public health emergency. And Florida, like other parts of the United States, is experiencing a serious hepatitis A virus attack.
They mentioned that the key to controlling hepatitis A in Florida is to vaccinate those individuals who are at greatest risk for contracting the disease.
This includes the homeless, those with chronic liver disease, those with clotting factor disorders, and even persons over the age of 60 with serious conditions such as diabetes and heart disease.
Just 2 days ago, there was a news flash stating that there was an outbreak of hepatitis A linked to blueberries that has spread to 6 northern states.
Hepatitis A is caused by a virus different from hepatitis B or C. The symptoms, which often include fatigue, fever, joint pain, dark urine, and jaundice, that's yellowing of the skin, usually lasts for several weeks. Luckily, most who suffer the disease recover completely, but there are rare cases where it leads to liver failure and even death. There are, on average, 20,000 people in the United States who contract hepatitis A each year.
The hepatitis A virus is found in the stool of the infected person, and it is spread through contaminated food or water or by certain types of sexual contact.
Children who get hepatitis often don't have symptoms, so they can have the virus and not know it. But it is important to know that even though children can still spread it easily, fortunately, children are now routinely vaccinated against hepatitis A. Our immune system battles foreign invaders every day, even the one that causes the common cold. When this happens, we develop immunity to that specific virus. This means that our bodies will fight off the virus if it is ever exposed to that virus again.
The same protection happens with vaccines. However, the benefit of a vaccination is that you don't have to go through being sick, and the risks of the actual disease to enable your body to fight off that disease.
Hepatitis vaccines contain a small amount of the inactive virus. When you get a dose of the vaccine, your immune systems respond by developing immunity against the virus. This immunity lasts over a long period of time. Now, two doses of hepatitis A vaccine are necessary for complete immunity. But it's also interesting here to know that even if you get in contact with the virus, your body will remember that immunity to the vaccine and rapidly start producing antibodies again. Due to the way hepatitis vaccinations are developed, it's impossible to contract the virus from the vaccine itself. As we said, the hepatitis A vaccine is usually given in two shots.
The most common side effects are redness, pain, and tenderness where the shots are given. If you receive one shot and never went back for the others, it is not too late to catch up.
So no matter how long the lapse is between doses, you never have to start the series again. So even if someone got their first dose 5 years ago, they can still receive the second dose. You know, with all the talk about certain vaccines, it's important to understand that hepatitis vaccines have been given to millions of people all across the world without any evidence of serious side effects.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center.
I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 33 years.
We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show.
For the second half of the show, we are, as we promised, going to complete the topic of chronic lymphocytic leukemia, a blood cancer.
For most cancers, staging is the process of finding out how far the cancer has spread.
It's helpful to stage cancer progress in order to help guide treatment and determine a person's outlook. Most types of cancers are staged based on the size of the tumor and how far the cancer has spread.
But there are no tumors in chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Again, it's generally in the bone marrow and blood. And in many cases, it has spread to other organs such as the spleen, liver, and lymph nodes by the time it's found.
The outlook for a person with CLL depends on other information such as the results of lab tests and imaging tests. In the case of CLL, there are really two methods of staging. The first is the RAI system, and this is the one that's mostly used in the United States. And then there's the Binet system that's used most often in Europe.
The RAI system is based on lymphocytosis. The patient must have a high number of lymphocytes in their blood and bone marrow that isn't linked to any other cause like infection.
For a diagnosis of CLL, the overall lymphocyte count does not have to be high, but the patient must have at least 5,000 monoclonal lymphocytes per cubic millimeter of blood. So you might be asking, what does monoclonal mean?
Well, it simply means that the cancer cells all come from one original cell. This causes them to have the same chemical pattern, which can be seen with special testing.
Getting back to staging, in the RAI system, there are five stages, from 0 to 4, and they're based on the results of blood tests and a physical exam.
In stage 0, there is no enlargement of the lymph nodes, spleen or liver, red blood cells, and platelet counts are near normal. Chronic lymphocytic leukemia becomes stage 1 when the appearance of enlarged lymph nodes.
In stage 2, you begin to see the appearance of an enlarged spleen and maybe even an enlarged liver. The lymph nodes may or may not be enlarged. Stage 3, though, the red blood cell counts are low, meaning there is anemia.
And finally, in stage 4, the platelet count will be low as well. This is called thrombocytopenia. But it is not only staging that helps with the prognosis.
These factors are part of formal staging systems yet, but are often taken into account when looking at possible treatment options. Some of the factors that are linked with lower survival and finding a diffuse pattern of bone marrow involvement. In other words, a more widespread replacement of normal marrow by leukemia cells. Advanced age, deletion of parts of chromosome 17 or 11, and trisomy 2 in the CLL cells, which we talked about on last week's show.
Also, high blood levels of certain substances, such as beta-2 microglobulin, portend to a poorer outcome.
There are other factors, such as lymphocyte doubling time, increased fraction of pro-lymphocytes, and a high proportion of CLL cells containing ZAP70. Again, something that we talked about last week. The monoclonal antibodies are man-made versions of immune system proteins, and these are the things that we call antibodies.
These are designed to actually attach to a specific target. In this case, the target cells are proteins on the surface of the cancer cells. These drugs can help your immune system react to and destroy the cancer cells.
Chemo given along with the monoclonal antibody is a standard treatment for chronic lymphocytic leukemia, again, CLL. These drugs include Rituxan, Gazyva, and Arzerra.
Rituximab, brand name Rituxan, has become one of the main treatments for chronic lymphocytic leukemia. It is most often used along with the chemotherapy or targeted drug and can be used as part of the initial treatment or as part of a second-line treatment.
Obinutuzumab, or Gazyva, can be used along with the chemo drug chlorambucil or even the targeted drug Imbruvica as a part of the initial treatment for CLL. The last one I just mentioned in this group of drugs is ofatumumab, which is used mainly if CLL is no longer responding to other treatments, such as the chemotherapy or what we also mentioned, the other monoclonal antibodies.
One of the problems with these drugs is that they may also increase a person's risk of certain serious infections for many months, even after the drug has stopped.
And there are other risks. For example, rituximab has been linked to a rare brain disease known as progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy that's caused by a virus. Again, this is one of the reasons that staging is so important. If a medication is not necessary, then by not taking it, you eliminate the side effects of taking the medication.
As in all of medicine, each treatment and diagnostic procedure has its risks and benefits for each individual patient, and this must be taken into account each and every time one is considered. If the risks outweigh the benefits, then it is more likely to be used.
It can lead to headaches, high blood pressure, seizures, confusion, loss of vision, and even death. There is a rare case seen in patients with very high white blood cell counts, as some of these drugs, especially obinutuzumab, may cause a condition called tumor lysis syndrome. This happens when the drug kills the cancer cells so quickly that the body has trouble getting rid of the breakdown products of the dead cells. Now, this most often happens during the first course of treatment. When the CLL cells are killed, they break open and release their contents into the bloodstream.
This can literally overwhelm the kidneys, so they can't get rid of all these substances fast enough. This can lead to build-up excess amounts of certain minerals in the blood and even kidney failure.
The excess minerals can cause problems with the heart and the nervous system. So to prevent this, doctors give the patient extra fluids and certain drugs such as sodium bicarbonate, allopurinol, febuxostat, and rasburicase. Now, there's another group of medications for CLL that are called targeted therapies. These are drugs that specifically target the changes inside the cells themselves that cause them to become cancer.
Standard chemotherapy drugs work by attacking rapidly growing cells in general, including cancer cells.
However, these targeted therapy drugs target one or more specific proteins on or actually in chronic lymphocytic leukemia cells. When treatment is needed for CLL, a targeted drug is often part of the first line of treatment.
The kinases inhibitor drugs block kinases, which are proteins in cells that normally relay signals such as telling the cell to grow.
Now, there are many different kinds of kinases that exist, and there are two that are targeted by specific drugs that are used to treat CLL. One is called Bruton's tyrosine kinase, or BTK, and the other is P13K. BTK is a protein that normally helps some CLL cells to grow and survive.
I can say it. One of these is Imbruvica, which blocks the activity of Bruton's tyrosine kinase in CLL cells. Another targeted drug is Calquence, which also blocks the activity of BTK.
But remember again, each drug has its risks and benefits. That means there may be untoward or unacceptable side effects or even potential risks when taking these drugs. We could go on and on with treatments used in CLL, such as PI3K inhibitors. But before the show ends, I'd like to mention stem cell transplant for chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
In most cases, chemotherapy, immunotherapy, and or targeted therapy can reduce the number of leukemia cells in chronic lymphocytic leukemia, CLL, and improve symptoms. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of our hearts.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas
from the bottom of our hearts. I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com, where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.